You think you know someone. Then you see them in a situation that seems so unusual and their actions so out of character that you need to rethink what you knew you knew. The first solution that comes to mind for that kind of circumstance is that they change their behavior to fit your expectations. Or how about considering that it's your perception that needs to be reworked, and not that the person needs to fit into the mold that you have cast for them? Some of these experiences can bring a smile to your face. The macho man who becomes a first-time father is caught cooing and babbling baby talk to his newborn child, and you go, "Is that you, Bob?" Some of these experiences are more unsettling, even disturbing. Gentle Jesus, meek and mild, turns into the proverbial raging bull in a china shop, swinging a rope whip, turning over tables, scattering coins everywhere, and driving out animals and humans from the court of the Gentiles of the temple in Jerusalem. I always thought of Jesus cleansing the temple as somewhat out of character for him. There's no mistaking the violence of this dramatic event. All four of the Gospels tell the story, but only John reports that Jesus first fashions a whip. The story hardly needs that whip for us to clearly picture and to sense the noise and commotion Jesus created as he took the action he did. One person described it as Jesus, whip in hand, creating holy havoc. Imagine, if you can, someone disrupting this service of worship today, or breaking up a church program, perhaps the meal served elsewhere in the building this very day, or a coffee hour in the church parlor after a service. Who would expect such a violation of this sacred space? Who would offer their approval for such a deed? I dare say no one. Would you? In a similar vein, we expect very different behavior from Jesus. We're touched when he weeps at the death of his friend Lazarus. We're impressed as he weeps over the careless and willful disobedience of the people of Israel and the city of Jerusalem. We're inspired when he shows compassion and extends remarkable patience to the crowds who seemed like little lost sheep in need of their shepherd, declaring himself, in fact, to be that good shepherd they needed most. We are awed the way he cares for the most broken and downtrodden of society, rescuing the lost, healing the blind, restoring lepers, forgiving sins people knew they committed, even forgiving those responsible for his death. And we are bowed in reverence to know that even on the cross, except perhaps for his words, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Jesus' words from the cross itself, though pain-ridden for sure, are softer, even laced with concern for his mother, for his beloved disciple, and even for one of the thieves who hung next to him in execution. The Jesus we love comes to us because, as I read to the children, God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. not to condemn the world, but that through that Son, the world might be saved. The Jesus who loves us is the Jesus we love. How long ago was it that you learned that song, Jesus Loves Me, This I Know, for the Bible Tells Me So? I imagine that most of us cannot even remember when we first heard it and when we first sang it. Jesus' actions of cleansing the temple may be somewhat okay with us, especially if they're directed at other people, like those greedy authorities in the temple, case in point, or perhaps religious hucksters of our own time, or the great sinners of our time, those who stand out as being, oh, so much worse than we ourselves. Jesus attacks the money changers and the sellers of sacrificial animals who were tolerated by the authorities. Those offenders were not outsiders, but insiders. They had the approval, maybe even a permit, to conduct business. Their presence was, well, convenient. It was, in fact, necessary. The very lucrative practice of swapping coins of the realm with their images of the Roman emperor and inscriptions claiming divinity for those rulers was necessary. All was necessary because you could not pay the temple tax with such pagan symbols. And the sellers of animals without blemish made it possible for pilgrims to Jerusalem who gathered for the high holy days throughout the year to offer a proper sacrifice in the temple. Initially, all this took place on the approach roads to the city of Jerusalem. By the time of Jesus, the money changing and the selling of animals had moved to the outer courts of the temple itself, like out in the side yard or the front yard of this very place, that close. Part of what people expected to find when they came to Jerusalem to worship at the temple. So it is for us all. The accommodations we make are close to home, close to our hearts, and we have become comfortable with them in our lives. So this story of Jesus cleansing the temple maybe startles us some, reminds us that he is not so comfortable with our accommodations as we may be. How we live and what we do or do not do matters to Jesus. And this applies to our practices today as well as to the religious life of his own day. The psalm employed at the start of Lent, Ash Wednesday, is normally Psalm 51. It really stands as a theme for the entire season of Lent. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. That's the opening line of Psalm 51. Lent can be a time for us to reflect on those areas of our personal and community life that we have come to deem as acceptable, even necessary, and above all, quite practical, really. Lent calls us to have what we say, what we think, what we do, to have that all matter, and to be consistent with the holy purposes of our Lord. That includes, among other things, the prejudices that we allow to be spoken and not stand against, the gossip that, well, we don't gossip quite as much as someone else, but we'll dabble in it from time to time. Or the pride we have in this place, in many things in our lives, and see no need to reach out to those who have no pride, who are broken by life. Do you know the lesson of the camel's nose? The desert nomads said that in a desert dust storm, you should never allow your camel to stick his nose under the flap of your tent. Because before you know it, the whole camel will be inside your tent and you'll be outside in the storm. By tradition, we endeavor to give up something for Lent. But usually the things that we give up are things we know we do not need anyway. They're making us overweight. They're deteriorating our health. And they're basically not good for us, pure and simple. The endless debate of giving up something for Lent or taking on something like a new discipline or volunteer activity, say, goes on and on. I do not know about you, but when I've fallen behind, when I've made a mistake, when I've hurt another, my first response is to double up on putting more effort, to work harder, to correct the mistake, to make amends for the one I've hurt, and somehow to undo it all by just being so much more busy. If I've slacked off on prayer or Bible reading, I resolve to do more of that than I usually had done. It's like a New Year's resolution. You remember your New Year's resolution? How's that going for you? Have you given it up yet? Or are you still working at it? Did you resolve to read through the Bible in the year 2012? Well, how did that hold up when you got to Leviticus and Numbers? Did you promise to be in church every Sunday for the rest of your life if God would see to it that you passed the final exam or got you out of trouble or helped someone forgive you for an offense you had committed? Well, if you've made that kind of promise, that kind of resolution, I imagine your perfect attendance pins must be dragging on the floor. Some years ago, a parishioner bought me a T-shirt because she thought it had a religious theme. It read in the boldest of print on the front, "Jesus is coming, look busy." Being busy or looking busy are not what Lent is all about. There are many instances when we cannot see what we need to have happen in our lives. And just doing more or doing it faster does not really help. You've heard people say, well, he or she is in a really bad place. Others can identify really bad places we're in. We can recognize the really bad places others have gotten to. But because we have become so comfortable with our behavior and our practices, we may not be able to see the bad places we are in. We might come to some self-knowledge after we've hit bottom, perhaps, but certainly not right away. Well, before we realize how far we have drifted from the will of God, Jesus is aware. it matters to Him. The best and only thing we can do is stop the busyness and be quiet and receptive. Scripture says, "Be still and know that I am God." And Lent is a time for us to do just that, to be still and know that God is God, and God can do something about all those things that we have let slide. We can allow for the healing that God would bring, to the saving power of our Lord to get us back on the right track. He might charge in like He did with the temple that day so long ago, upsetting those practices we've gotten used to, much to our dismay. Even the gentlest corrections can feel like we've been violated and humiliated. But He doesn't want us to leave us in that position. He, in fact, wants us to lead us by the hand to a new understanding, a new strength, a new faith. Either way, you will be transformed, reborn by the power of God. God acts in different ways. And it's not the same for everyone. And Jesus doesn't come to us individually in the same manner every time. But He comes to us again and again. Lent after Lent, month after month, day after day. When Jesus said, "Destroy this temple and in 3 days I will raise it up," He was referring to His resurrection, not literally the building the temple in 3 days. The authorities thought they knew what Jesus meant and condemned Him for blasphemy. The disciples were not so sure what He was talking about, and the Gospels tell us they didn't get it until after Easter, when it became clear that the Jesus they got was far greater than the Jesus they thought they knew. In fact, He was more than they could have imagined. He is more than we can imagine. One day, it was the first day of the week, the first Easter, He charged back into life, overturning all preconceptions of who He was and how He would act. And as He drove out all fears, as He drove away death itself forever, He offered new life to us all. Two things are sure. Jesus wants to clean up your act and help you to do so. And secondly, Jesus is more than capable of doing so. So you thought you knew who Jesus was? You may be surprised yet at what He can do for you this Lent, this day. Amen. Let us pray. Lord, Your word from of old comes to us fresh and new this day, providing healing, extending hope, offering strength, driving out all those things that we fear and those things that torment us. We thank You for Your loving care to us. We pray in the name of our Lord Jesus. Amen.